This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Brandon Scott's here, and he's something he never wanted to be. He's turned into what he spoke out against last year, and I got to tell you, welcome to the club.
Yeah, man.
I was with you. You're there.
Yeah.
Think a lot of loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. They're there as well, so you have company.
Yeah, man. Dare I say, I've had a change of heart.
And that is?
I had a little bit of change of heart. I am fully embracing the suck. All in. Yeah, man. All in. Face first into the suck. Face first into it, man. Took a nosedive into the suck, man. So last year, for some context, when we were having that conversation about should you bench Tyrod Taylor and just play Davis Mills, forget the whole Tyrod Taylor thing because it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Which I agree with by and large for the most part. I thought, well, that's silly if Tyrod Taylor is the better player. You brought him in. And it would also kind of be unfair to, like, if you're trying to build a culture,
yeah,
it's unfair to the whole idea of building a culture to play a lesser player over a better one.
Correct.
And so I didn't like that idea. And I still am not a big fan of it. I would still stand on the logic behind that. But the whole point last year that I feel like the tanking crowd was trying to make was play the young guys no matter what the results are. Pass or fail, win or lose. Just play the young guys, mm-hmm. figure out what you have, let them develop, spend your time evaluating them. And if you suck, all you're going to do is be in a position to get more young guys or be in a higher position to get the better young guys, I should say. Well, I didn't fully embrace that last year. I think in part because I really wasn't sold on the Davis Mills pick in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, fast forward a year later and you watch this team as currently constructed, lose to the Chicago Bears. This really happened to me a couple of weeks ago when I picked them to beat the Bears, and I said that was the only team, that was the worst offense that they play all year, and maybe the only team with an offense that's worse than their own, and they didn't win that game. And they had an opportunity to win the Chargers game, obviously didn't win it, in large part to a slow start. And so I'm looking around like, I don't have them winning no games. Like, I don't have them. They will win a game this year. I don't think they're going to go winless. They will win a game that I think that they're not supposed to win.
But
I don't know.
Can you find three?
Three?
Yeah.
Man, I'm just saying, I'm saying based off of probability that it's just going to happen. Because I can't tell you which game it's going to be. Yeah. Like, if you say, B. Scott, which game you got them winning? I can't pick it. I figure it's going to happen just based off of the probabilities and the math and the percentages. But this is a bad football team, and they have a hell of an opportunity to go get the thing that they're missing. One thing you say about the season, four games in, it's not a good football team, but with a better quarterback, they could have won at least three games. Possibly all four of them with a better quarterback. And I'm somebody that didn't think Davis Mills was awful on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was good, but I didn't think he was awful on Sunday. I thought he actually played one of his better games, which is saying
one
a lot.
Of.
Yeah.
No, it was by far his best game.
Yeah, it was by far his
I
best game.
I thought he played a good quarter and a half.
I thought outside of – there were three plays that I thought were Davis Mills problematic. And outside of that, I thought he was solid. The interception, obviously. Mm-hmm. I know he got pressure, but I'm not going to make the excuse he shouldn't have thrown that ball.
Yeah.
There was there's a sack that he took that any mobile quarterback would have stepped up in the pocket, either made a throw or at least gotten some positive yards, at least gotten back to the line of scrimmage. He takes the sack. And then it's that miss to Nico Collins on third and five. I think it
same
was
type
sec-
of throw.
Yeah.
Same type of throw.
Yeah.
Dude.
As the INT.
And failing to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we were looking, you've seen it.
Tentative at times.
Yeah.
I think I was pointing this out before that when you look at, I should go back and look at this again, but a couple of weeks ago he was having the, he was ranking in a higher part of the league of getting the ball out, like the time to throw.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because he was decisive necessarily or making great decisions. He was just locking in on his first read. He was just getting rid of the ball because he wasn't decisive or didn't seem as confident.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at now with the team. It's like, okay, they obviously need a quarterback. No more having this discussion of is Davis Mills the guy.
So you've come to that side fully as well.
Yeah. Oh, I think
we know.
I was already there.
You were kind of there.
But I was already there, but I think the urgency for me is even greater now after they've lost games that I feel like they should have won.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. And apologies to all people that I talked down against last year, because I am now right there with you. I am you, you are me.
I think this year's kind of exciting. That sounds counterintuitive. Like, how can it be exciting when you got a team that's losing like it is and hadn't won a game? It can be. It'd be quick because of the possibilities that are out there and the changes that are coming.
Yeah, well, it is an exciting year. There are things to be excited about. It's just it just doesn't translate to the win-loss column, or the win-loss record. Like, I'm excited about Dameon Pierce. It sounds like the league is. If y'all read around, read on all the different websites, NFL.com, The Ringer, anywhere else you want to look at, and they're talking about Dameon Pierce. It's like the Texans, it seems like over the last couple of years, outside of Deshaun Watson stuff, they've been easy to forget about. People are talking about Dameon Pierce. Like, he's a thing. Obviously got Stingley and Jalen Petrie. Like, the rookie class is something to be excited about. Green, King and Green. Yeah. This week, how about Christian Harris? Shout out to Christian Harris, because I feel like that's been one of the more exciting talking points in a week where it's starting to get a little dry. And especially in terms of hope and, like, what can you hang your hat on this week?
Yeah.
You know, well, this week maybe you get Christian Harris and you can start talking about that, or what kind of difference a dude like that will make on the defense where the linebackers are terrible or have at least been terrible this year.
What do you make of the head coach, Lovie Smith? You asked him about his bit coaching over the weekend where call a timeout with a minute left, the other team takes a knee, then Dameon Pierce runs the ball up the middle. He didn't really give you a very good answer. He basically just said the game was over when it was over. Didn't say anything. What do you make of Lovie Smith, though, 4 weeks in?
Yeah, so just on that particular question, though, I'm still trying to figure out, because I feel like y'all laid it out on Monday, and I still don't feel like I'm clear on whose decision was that. If I could have gotten a follow-up, I would have said, hey, because I asked what happened there or something to that effect. It was a little bit maybe not specific enough a question, because I'd love to know, like, was that a pep thing or is it a you thing? And ultimately it comes down to you as the head coach.
Right.
That looked so bad. And it's inconsequential. I almost feel bad for nitpicking it.
No.
But it's
not. No, it's not nitpicking.
It doesn't feel like nitpicking on a team like this.
No, that was awful.
Well, if they were good, or if they had something else that they were playing for, and maybe it could be a more forgettable thing, like you just go, oh, next week.
Well, throw the ball.
Yeah. Well,
if you're trying to do anything, throw the ball. Yeah. Don't run the ball up the middle with your most valuable player, really, up to this point.
Yeah.
For no reason.
If there was an opportunity for Dari and Gubawale to get a carry this year,
that would be it,
that
right?
That felt like the opportunity. Yeah. Shout out to Troy Harrison, who y'all just had on. But if there was an opportunity to just hand him the ball up the gut,
right,
that would have been the opportunity to do that. So I thought that was one of the worst moments to be something that really was inconsequential, especially since he didn't get hurt. Like you said, Landry, it's not nitpicking, because it's small things like that can really trip you up.
Well, they came out in the victory formation. They came out in victory formation and switched out of it. That tells me that Lovie changed it.
They called the timeout before.
Yeah.
Like that, right. It's not like they just got the ball and then they decided to do it. They literally called the timeout with a minute left.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, all the explanations are bad. Like, were they trying to trick the defense?
I don't know.
Like, hey, I know you think we're going to victory formation, but we're about to run this 11-point play.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what? It was mind-numbingly silly. And I'm saying that also as somebody who hasn't had, like, you asked the question, what do you think about Lovie Smith 4 games in? I haven't had huge criticism. Like, I haven't been a Pep Hamilton's play calling is awful. I thought it was bad. I didn't like it in the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was defending them more in the first 2 games. But I haven't thought that they've been the reason why they haven't been good. And so, like, little moments like that is like, come on, man, I'm trying to defend y'all. I'm trying to be on your side, and then y'all go and do some foolish
stuff. The thing about Lovie, though, that I think is interesting, and sometimes he says stuff that I think kind of makes him look a little bit silly. because he kind of digs himself into a hole. Like comparing the Rex Burkhead getting the ball on first and goal from the eight after Damian Pierce has touched the ball five times on that drive, 26 yards rushing, so he's probably a little bit gassed to fourth and one. And some of the other stuff he said is, I'm grading Lovie Smith on a curve. Like, if the Texans win less games this year than last, I'm not going to say that Lovie Smith's worse than David Coley, because there's a gray area that needs to be taken into account, and I think this team is better. I do think the talent level's better. But on the other hand, you have Lovie Smith, who in the past has said, well, you know, I didn't think I was that bad at Tampa Bay because we won more games from year one to year two, and there was a gray area there. So I do think we need to grade Lovie on a curve, but when he says stuff like that, am I supposed to judge him based on having less wins than David Culley?
Yeah, so going back to the whole point of the season, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think that judging anybody based off of the win-loss record is necessarily productive. And all we're talking about is, I mean, what is the difference between a 4-win and a 2-win team anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're
one or two draft spots.
Exactly.
Which is big.
Which is big in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. but you're really nitpicking in terms of the quality of the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody's saying.
Bad is bad.
Yeah. Like, what are we. Just like when people were doing, oh, Davis Mills was the best rookie quarterback last year.
Right.
You want to know the secret about that? You want to know the secret about the rookie quarterbacks last year?
They were all bad.
They weren't good.
Exactly.
They weren't good. So it's like, okay, so what are you really saying there? So I don't know, man. The Lovie Smith thing and this whole conversation to me has been interesting because I didn't expect us to be having it this early.
Yeah.
And I know Ross Tucker has been one to kind of spur it a little bit on this station, mm-hmm. but it is a discussion worth having. I did it myself watching the game Monday night. Was it Monday night with the 49ers and the Rams
yes.
game? I'm sitting there like watching D'Amico Ryans and I'm like,
ooh,
man,
baby.
Okay.
Okay.
there is what a young and new, you know, version, maybe what people thought of Lovie Smith 20, 25 years ago
yeah.
is the way people think of D'Amico Ryans now. You know what I mean? You think you're looking across the on the other side, or just look at both head coaches, you
mm-hmm.
know, young coaches in their, you know, I guess Shanahan's in his early 40s now, but you know what I mean? Shanahan's
yeah.
a young guy. Shanahan and
innovative, progressive, new wave, though they might be a little older.
Yeah.
That's why my thoughts on Lovie Smith right now, obviously we'll talk about him. You know, we'll praise, we'll criticize, we'll opine, you know, however we want to as the season goes on. But my overall thoughts on Lovie Smith right now, B. Scott, it's almost not indifference, but like acceptance, like, well, he's not going to be the guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's the next guy that you know, it's just like Culley. It's not so much him. It's the next guy. Well, it's the next guy with Lovie, too, is how I view it. Maybe that's unfair, but that's how I view it.
I think the romanticized part of Lovie matters with where they are right now in the process. Like
yeah.
the process over results, I think it matters. But you got to respect the process as well, and you got to assess what happens on Sunday. I think Lovie Smith might be a not good enough coach to where it's actually beneficial to the Texans. In a less extreme way that it was last year with
yeah.
Urban Meyer with the Jags. Like, if Urban Meyer had been mediocre, then Jacksonville might not be as far along as they are right now because he might have gotten another year. And he could see that there's still a certain level that Urban Meyer could go to. But the fact he was awful, you had the first pick in the draft, Walker has a sack and an interception, and you ended up making the right decision. I think if Lovie were a better coach, it might actually be a worse thing for the Texans. I don't think he's a crappy coach, but I don't think he's like a good enough coach to where he's capable of sneaking, you know, two wins that you should have.
Right.
And in the big scheme of things, if we were talking about the Texans with two wins instead of none right now, we probably wouldn't be sitting here having these debates about Bryce Young and all these other quarterbacks. So I actually think he's like perfect for where they are right now.
I've had this discussion in the parking lot at NRG with some of the other Texans media folks. Like, I wish that coaches had or that we could formulate a similar war stat. Like, what is – how much – you know, like the war stat in baseball, wins above replacement. How yeah. much is a particular
That's
coach
what I said
worth?
About James Click yesterday. Yeah. What's his war?
What is his – what is James Click's
much.
War? Well, what would Lovie Smith's war be if such a thing actually existed?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that.
Kind of going to Landry's point here, like, I don't know – if, or I'll say it like this, I don't feel like Lovie Smith singularly is worth
mm-hmm.
a win in either direction. Like, I don't think I don't feel like kind of I don't feel there. Like Lovey's obviously they haven't won a game, so obviously he hasn't won you a game. But I don't feel like Lovey's gonna win you a game, and I don't feel like Lovey necessarily is gonna lose you a game. You can argue he's the reason why you have a tie right now because of the coaching decision that a lot of us didn't like. Landry, I know you were on with it, but a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah, I was fine with the punt.
Yeah, I mean, he made a solid decision to make sure that they didn't lose because he was able to check the temperature of the room and see that his team was about to cough up the game, and he wanted to very least not do that. Didn't love it, thought it was gutless, but thought it was a decent coaching decision. Better him to be the coach than me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's kind of where I am right now. Just I think that was a good word you used, Lopez, probably indifferent.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like he's swinging the pendulum one way or the other.
Pep Hamilton, he just met with the media. If you're angry that Damian Pierce isn't out there on 4th-and-1, spoiler alert, you might be even more angry. We'll hear from Pep next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Brandon Scott is in the building. Let's hear what Pep Hamilton had to say about why Damian Pierce might not be on the field on 4th-and-1. He just said this to our own Sean Bajani. Here's your offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton.
To work on away from the football to for you guys to feel comfortable in putting him in some more higher leverage situations and play him later in the games.
Well, I don't know that he needs to work on, you know, those things away from football. I think it's more important that, you know, he continues to learn to play without the ball.
Well, that's what I meant, you know, in terms of like blitz pickup,
right?
You know, pass protection, not just the carries. Just curious the usage, really. Why he hadn't been present later in games and in some higher leverage situations.
Well, just it is a combination of, you know, we'll just put him in there and let him play and grow through some of these situations, but it ultimately is going to come down to gaining that experience and trust of the other guys in the huddle that he can play without the ball. And it's not that he hadn't shown the ability to process the information in or physically do the things that we're asking him to do, but there's a lot of situations that arise in a game where, you know, it's just some unknowns and just like with any young players, it's not, you know, always the best. It's not always in the best interest of the unit to put them in those situations.
All right. I don't know what he's talking about. Like all this, like blitz pickup, all of this, you know what you're going to do. That means nothing on 4th-and-1. Like on 4th-and-1, it's either run the ball, don't run the ball. Like fake the handoff, go out for a pass. Like, I think he can do that. I don't think there's really any explanation for it. That's a generic explanation. There's nothing to do with 4th-and-1.
Can they just say that he's tired? Just say that. Because I would accept that a lot much more and a lot better. Because those should be the only times when Damian Pierce is not on the field. If he's hurt or if he's tired. And that, I mean, those are, and that would be an acceptable excuse considering he hasn't carried a load. You guys have talked about a lot on this show. Like, that's it, though.
It sounds to me like they were just sort of like, penalizing him for he must have missed something somewhere, some assignment, and they took him off the field. That's kind of how I felt. Like, well, he doesn't, you know, some players, he was basically saying some players don't really know what they're doing at that age, and he might be one, you know, and so like, why was he not on the field? And then here's the other thing. Everybody on that field is going to bust their butts to try to win every play and win every game. I get that. But do the coaches not think that they're better than they are? Because if you're going to play rookies through these, that's a perfect time to play a rookie through a situation, you know?
Yeah.
It's 4th-and-1.
Yeah, it's a perfect time.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
Well, and also, what is your role in your job as the coach and offensive coordinator?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, he doesn't know what to do. Tell him.
Fix it.
Coach him.
Yeah.
Tell him what to do.
Fix it.
Say, hey, Damian.
Yeah.
On this play, watch out for, you know, for this linebacker, or for this safety, or for this cornerback coming off the edge, or, you know what I mean? Like, that is part of your job as well as the coach, you know, like help him out. He is your best offensive player and is not inadequate in blitz pickup. Like, we've seen that. He had one of the best blitz pickups we've seen all year, you know, and it was one of his highlights coming out of college. Was flipping a dude over. Like, what? Just help him out. Coach him. I mean, and what better way to gain that trust and to figure out what to do in those situations than to be in said situations?
Exactly.
Do they take Davis Mills out of the game because he doesn't pick up pressure well and say, well, you know what, Kyle Allen's had more experience.
Well,
they
would never touch Davis Mills. We know that.
Saying, like, I know that's probably an unfair and drastic example, but you get what I'm saying. It's like, okay, coach him. Mm-hmm. Let him get the experience. Let him go out there and figure it out. What are we doing?
Brandon Scott in for his weekly visit here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I want to transform to Astros. Astros playoff run begins 5 days from now. That's crazy. It's here. It's either going to be Toronto, it's going to be Seattle. I know you wrote a piece on online about the Astros and where they are. Who would you start game two? Is there a case to be made that you could start Lance McCullers game two, given the fact that his ERA is 1.5 at home and given the fact that Fromber's kind of fallen off, might be a little bit strong, but he's definitely not pitching as well post-streak as he was during that stretch?
Yeah, I know. I think it's a strong case that could be made for Lance McCullers. I mean, think about last year. I know he's gone through injury, and Fromber's had this emergence, had an all-star mm-hmm. year this year, and had the consecutive quality start streak. I guess he set the single season record, right, and fell just
in
short
season
of the,
record,
right, the in season record, yeah. right. But I mean, Lance McCullers, I don't think anybody would argue is the most talented pitcher on this staff, not named Justin Verlander. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's just a matter of fact. I do think that Fromber, the whole quality start thing and evaluating him, like in comparison to a Lance and to really in comparison to a Verlander, is a lot different because he's a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of what he's doing is trying to induce a lot of that soft contact.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the contact ain't soft, or sometimes it's hit to the wrong place from the Astros perspective. So even some of his good starts are sometimes and hard to differentiate from the bad starts, because sometimes it could just be an issue of luck. But just to the question, Lance McCullers is the better pitcher, like, just flat out. So I think the case could be made.
Wow.
Now, do you want to reward? Like, I think there's also a case for rewarding
Fromber
for the season.
No, not in the playoffs. Come
he's
on. He's, I mean, you're still in the rotation. Well, you don't need to reward
not,
him.
Not just off of, like, hey, here's a treat, but, like, okay, he has proven to you throughout the course of the year that he can give you a quality start.
I just think
and
it's,
so you reward based off of what you've seen.
Reward, man.
Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with that. Like, who you think is the better pitcher? I agree with you, probably. But I think if you're going to be an analytics team, use the analytics. And Landry's brought this up several times. McCullers is better at home. Pitch him at home. That means he's the second pitcher. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah,
I mean,
and why don't you, like, Lance McCullers doesn't deserve a reward?
Yeah,
I mean, he's not been the second best pitcher on the staff. That's what I'm saying. I'm not, but reward is not the right
but
word.
But he's been one of your best postseason pitchers.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Fromber was awful in the postseason.
Yeah,
outside of that one performance, his ERA was damn near 10.
100%, 100%. I'm just saying, based off of your most recent sample size. Now, you can say your most recent sample size of the last three starts aren't good, but throughout the course of the season, Fromber Valdez has taken his game to another level, or at least has maintained what you thought you were starting to see, really going back to 2020. So based off of that, he has shown you enough for you to feel comfortable putting him in that position.
There is a confidence that you have in that.
There is a confidence you have in that. Mm, but back to the point, though, to your question, like, we're not disagreeing here. I would not have a problem with going with Lance McCullers, because I just think he's just flat out the better guy.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, you can talk about, and I think you're kind of thinking like Dusty. Like, I think in a point, you're kind of thinking like Dusty when you say stuff like reward, because that kind of seems like a Dusty thing where I'm going to reward him for his efforts and all that over-romanticized old-school baseball crap. But this is a big decision, because in a postseason series, if Fromber Valdez goes out there and he pitches like he did in every start outside of that magical one that they had last year, everything's screwed up. Like, it can take one, two inning outing, and everything's screwed up. All of a sudden, your bullpen is getting mm-hmm. worn down. Mm-hmm. I know you have some guys that you throw out there that you like to piggyback. Like, who starts game two is a big decision. It's not just like one game.
Yeah. But just to be clear on what I'm saying, I'm not saying just reward him for the effort. I'm saying reward him for the results. And, like, overall, his results have been good. Like, I get that the most recent sample size. And if there's something that you've seen from that, the pitching staff, Dusty, whoever, have seen something specific that is concerning and makes them think that Fromber is not the guy that he has shown himself to be throughout the season,
yeah,
then all the more reason to just, especially when your backup plan is Lance McCullers.
Right.
Like, yeah, just go ahead and go with that. Honestly, I don't think they can really go wrong given how well Lance has pitched and the overall sample size from Fromber Valdez. But if you're just talking about who's the better guy, it's Lance McCullers.
It's interesting because I don't think they can really go wrong either. I know I get the confidence that they want to have and that we all have in Fromber over the course of the year. I get that, you know, obviously Lance McCullers is, I think, the better pitcher, better at home for sure. But I think you can't go wrong. But if you lose game two, you're going to be criticized no matter what.
Dude.
Either way.
Dude.
Either way.
they got a guy in the bullpen right now that I would feel comfortable starting in game two.
I said it.
Brown.
Yeah.
I said it yesterday.
So, like, I ain't really tripping.
I'll be honest. There are two things that worry me right now, and it's not based on anything that happened in the regular season. I'm worried about Fromber Valdez as a playoff pitcher. I'm very concerned about that. I think the emotions get very high outside of the great start that we saw last year. I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about the bullpen. I know the bullpen's been good. The bullpen terrifies me in the postseason.
Yeah, but no,
terrified.
Man, like,
I'm scared.
I'm more interested in how they do the roster configurations because, like, I feel like a lot of these guys that are going to be the starting pitcher surplus are going to factor into the bullpen.
Yeah, they're going to piggyback.
So I mean,
they're going to piggyback. But I'm talking high leverage, eighth, ninth inning. When you need those guys, I'm worried.
Yeah, no. If you I'm not worried if you take guys like Will Smith out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Abreu, who had a good stretch there, is out of the equation. Like, certain guys,
I'm irrationally worried about Stanek and Presley. I'm irrationally worried about it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have one-run games. Like, a lot of times when these guys, like, even when they show their warts, it's like, oh, it was a three-run game. And the numbers look good. But, like, Montero in the seventh inning of a postseason game scares me.
Yeah. The bullpens are volatile. But as far as bullpens go, this is, like, is about as good as you can ask for.
Going into the postseason, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stats speak for themselves. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's like an irrational fear. And I've felt it all year, even when they were pitching as good as anyone. I'm scared of this bullpen. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm worried about Fromber, the postseason pitcher.
The more the game matters, the more a bullpen is going to make you nervous every time.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think about it in comparison to last year, all those last-ditch efforts that they had to make to
make Tom was nails, though.
Yeah, he was. But what I'm saying is they had to go get him. Like, they've had dudes now, I feel like, that have performed. Like, you think about Stanek, dude's been good all year.
He's been good.
He's been excellent. Yeah. So, I mean, they're rightfully nervous, but I'll put it to you this way. I'd be more nervous with anybody else's bullpen for the most part, other than maybe the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, yeah. Bullpens are terrifying. Yes, mm-hmm. All of them are.
So, yeah. This would be the poison that I would pick.
Yeah.
There you go. B. Scott, appreciate you for hopping on. I know you'll be covering the games when they begin next Tuesday. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Coming up, Davis Mills speaks about the past and future of the Texans versus Jags matchup. Plus, the MLB playoffs begin this week. What a time to be alive.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Davis Mills talked about the history of Texans-Jags, the past and perhaps the future. Here was Davis Mills talking about the history of the Texans whooping up on the Jags recently and the win streak that is expected to come to an end Sunday in Duval.
Yeah, I mean, I think historically, at least through the past most recent years, the Texans have always handled the Jags efficiently. We've gotten wins in the recent years, and we want to keep it rolling in the same way.
All right, there you go. Not sure that it really matters. And not sure that it's productive to keep that win streak going. And it's definitely not your mom and dad's Jags. Here's Brandon Cooks talking about what he sees from the Jags compared to what he's seen the last couple of years when he's never lost to them.
I don't necessarily think about the past. When you see this Jacksonville Jaguar and you turn on the film, you know, they're already showing that they're a completely different team in a good way.
I don't know. It just hits me kind of weird that this 8-game win streak because the Texans, actually both teams, but the Texans have changed so much. I mean, it still matters in the locker room, especially in Jacksonville, I'm sure, having lost eight straight to the Texans. But, like, this team has turned over three times in the last few over the course of that win streak. So it just kind of is weird. But to Cook's point, the Jags definitely are not the same old Jags. Definitely not.
No, they're not. Yeah. And Davis Mills, he's always going to be connected to Trevor Lawrence by some people. I think it's a silly connection. But Davis Mills was asked about it. Do you feel the pressure to outperform the number one pick in your draft class? I can't believe he was even asked this. But here was Davis Mills talking about that.
I don't think so. He's a good quarterback. I think I'm a good quarterback. We're going out there and trying to play within our system and play the best game we can possible. And then, I mean, let the winning team win.
It kind of stinks that he was the first pick of the draft last year in the third round because people are just overvaluing what he is. Forget criticizing or commenting on his play, but just because he was like the first pick of the Texans doesn't mean it was in the first round. He's a third round quarterback, and you're comparing him. He's always going to be compared to Trevor Lawrence. Are you kidding me?
It's like, a QB show now.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and the worst part about it was last year Trevor Lawrence was trash.
Yeah.
That was a bad year. Like it was awful. It was like a worse year than we could have anticipated. Yeah. So hanging your hat on being better than that, what does that mean? I mean, that means maybe you'll be a good backup quarterback in the league. So yeah. I never really have gotten in on that as much as some have, but there is some good news for Texans fans, and this has been – Davis Mills hasn't been consistent this year. I think that is for sure. Anyone who watches, anyone can see that. But the one thing that's remained consistent, he feels great about how he looks out there.
I feel very comfortable. Obviously, got to continue to improve week in and week out. But, I mean, we're happy with where we're at, but we're still hungry for more. We're ready to go out and attack early on in games and not have to feel that feeling at halftime or late in the game when we need to try to get back on track or catch up, but really have that urgent feeling from the start of the game and just go out and make big plays from the start.
All right, there you go.
Hungry for more? More what?
He's something at the podium.
Like, seriously.
He's definitely
like,
something.
Like, hungry for more.
He's something, man.
More what?
He feels good. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. Maybe he's not
I'm glad he feels good.
He feels good about himself. He feels good about where they're going. He thinks they're getting better each week.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
He's hungry for more.
That's what he says. Don't know. It's getting tough.
It is.
I'm not tired of Lovey. I'm not even tired of Pep. I'm not tired of hearing a lot of these guys talk. Davis Mills kind of wears on you a little bit.
That's just what happens when you have a bad team. Quarterback gets blamed and people get tired of hearing from him.
Well, he should be getting blamed.
And he should. He absolutely should. Coach gets – his act gets a little old. I said it the other day. You know, I'm already – it's already kind of getting old for me. It's human nature. It's the way it goes. But at least give us a little more than that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's rough.
God.
And, I mean, he's been the weak part of the offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. But
he's the reason, Landry.
Yeah, he's the reason.
Yeah.
He's the reason they haven't won more games. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Let's play the hits here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Four Texans on the Athletic All-Rookie Team, Damian Pierce, Kenyon Green, Jalen Petrie, and Derek Stingley all on the team. There's a couple of other guys that are performing well as well. Troy Harrison, the fullback, he joined us straight off the practice field. You'll hear that later on in the show. And Christian Harris, expected to make an impact. He's back on the practice field. Don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. I could see them holding him off and letting him, you know, rest up during the bye week, and maybe his debut is going to be in Las Vegas. That's what I would do at this point.
Get a bye week in of practice.
Get a bye week in. Or maybe you throw him out there for a few snaps and then
6 to 10. That's what I told you yesterday. 6 to 10.
I would.
See, you're coming along. You're coming to this side.
I gotta get 10 to 15.
You just don't like agreeing with me.
I gotta get double digit snaps.
Okay, 10
from him. 15 to 20. Especially with these linebackers, which, by the way, maybe some of the worst linebacking that I've seen in Texans history. There's not a position group worse than the linebackers right now, is there?
No. Not right now.
Like you don't
even
have to hesitate.
Not as you're watching the team.
I don't even know what else is in the discussion.
Yeah, tight end maybe, but they're making some plays. It's just an assortment of characters.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, it's an assortment of characters.
You got three touchdowns.
Is all, yeah.
From them. You got some good blocking.
You just don't know who's blocking good. You still know who's doing what.
This is the worst linebacking core maybe in Texans history.
I think you're correct. It's bad.
And it's some guys that signed one-year deals and then you brought back. They need Christian Harris. They need someone to establish himself as someone that can be here past this season and productive. That's how bad the linebacking group has been. Christian Harris might help that. Here's Doug Peterson, Jags coach, talking about what he expects from the Houston Texans, his opponent on Sunday.
You know, Houston, when you look at Houston, too, I mean, this team, you know, their win-loss record may not be what they think it should be or where it should be, but this is a good football team. They're really aggressive defensively. They're young. They fly around. They've got some top draft picks over there. They went out and got some quality free agents. And you know, it's a group that you know, you better come ready to play. And you know, and offensively, might be young in some spots. Quarterback being one of them. You know, and just being able to handle that.
I mean, a coach overstating what their opponent is nothing new. It's when you watch this team every week, you're like, wait, what? He's saying what about these guys? It's nothing new, but a little bit much there from old Dougie.
It's a hell of a ball club.
It's a hell of a ball club in his eyes.
Ball club over there.
In his eyes,
he's not as bad as Zay Jones, though. Listen to this scouting report from Zay Jones.
That was great.
This is insane. This is a player just throwing out every cliche possible.
You can't think of any words.
This is a high effort, high speed, and what's the word I want to use to describe it? They're like, I don't want to just say fly around, like a tenacious type group. I think they play collectively well together. When you turn on the tape, there's not a whole lot of guys that are lackadaisical or taking plays off. I've had experience of playing with Jerry Hughes in Buffalo. I've always thought very highly of him. I thought he's a phenomenal player. Jerry's had a motor, and so I know if that's a person they bring in who's a leader for them, I'm sure he, as well as Lovey, are instilling that in their D-line. You know, I know Christian Kirksey, linebacker, I think he's a great player, works very hard. Back in a little bit young, but those guys are still ballers as well. They're good players, so... I don't really feel like their record displays the type of talent that they have. Sometimes teams get bad shakes and, you know, games didn't fall their way. But I don't think this is a group that we can take very lightly at all. I feel as though they have the weapons to just do something special.
All right.
Wow, special.
Do something special.
Special.
There we go. What is special? Is he talking about down the line? Are you talking about the process?
Yeah, I hope so.
Seems like he was talking about right now.
That's what we're talking about.
There you go. You feel good about the Texans after that Zay Jones report?
I kind of do, man. I'm like, damn, maybe we ain't watching the tape right.
Maybe we're not.
Phil Maton gave up a hit to his brother Nick.
This is so awesome. It is so awesome.
Here's what it sounded like on the play-by-play on the Phillies network.
And a line drive. Base hit it to right center field. What a reaction for the Phillies dugout as Nick gets a base hit off his brother Phil. I wonder if he'll keep the baseball or if Phil will give it to him.
He should throw the baseball out, right? Yeah, they're asking for the baseball there from the dugout.
Yeah.
This is a fastball. He gets in on him. He beats him. Nicky smiles
smirk.
The whole time.
It's hard to keep him quiet.
No, he's a talker.
Well, I guarantee you this is one of the lowest moments of Phil Maton's life. I'm not exaggerating. His younger brother, who he never played with because he's 4 years younger, so they were never on the same school team or you know, college or whatever, coming up in the minor leagues. This is truly one of the lowest. You could see it. I mean, he always has that kind of resting bitch face, but he looked like mad that his little brother got a hit off of him. And his little brother, the whole dugout.
His little brother wasn't loud when Berman was interviewing him.
Well, he was then. The whole dugout, like, went up to the top. Step, hands and fists, you know, shaking in the air because you know he had said something. I got to get a hit off my big brother. It had the roles been reversed and he'd struck out his little brother, it wouldn't have been as nearly as big a deal. But his little brother got a knock off of him And the first and only time that they've seen each other.
You think Maton's going to be a factor in the playoffs?
I think this might ruin him for the playoffs.
Come on.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. He's done.
No, but do you think that he's going to be a factor? I mean, yes, he was.
He has been.
Yeah, but have you seen him pitch this year?
Yeah, he has not been well. We talked about it last week or the week before, what's been happening with him lately. And they're going to rely on him. I mean, you've been very, very consistently skeptical of this
bullpen. I think it's fool's gold.
And they have,
I think it's a regular season bullpen.
And they have had some moments, some lulls, so to speak.
And I hope I'm wrong.
We all hope you're wrong.
But I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified about this bullpen. It's wild, I know.
If we're talking Astros, and we were saying yesterday how they, you know, they're just peaking at the right time. Just about everything is clicking. If the Astros go down, I'll go Mike Meltzer here. Rank the reasons why. If they do get eliminated,
the bats.
But yeah,
they've been known to disappear even when they were good. The bats, the bullpen, and
I got Fromber.
Fromber.
Yeah. I got bats, bullpen, Fromber. Like slump is what I wrote. And like if you have two or three guys slump in one series, that's a big task right there. And then the bullpen. And if you lose game two, you can't emphasize enough how important game two at home is. You just can't. If they steal it, it's momentum. It's actual home field advantage. It's facing, you know, their pitcher. Well, the good news is if it's McCullers, you're in good shape. But facing the number three pitcher, it's tough losing that second game.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, week five of the NFL season begins tonight. Could it be the start of a division rival doing something dumb and creating an opportunity for Nick Caserio?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.